That's
Welcome,
fine, man.
everyone. Looks like Marina and Erwin just joined us as well. And we are on Hey Umman Aleph on 5A. I always feel like when I get to Daf Hey, I'm like, you know what? We've made a real haskalah. We really started to cover some ground. Okay, we're gonna ignore the fact that it's really the fourth block because because we started in Beis Umman Aleph, but it feels really good. It feels really good to get Hey Umman Aleph. And by the way, we're getting to a new Mishnah today. So that is definitely a milestone. Not to worry, many of the concepts are a continuation from the previous one, but there'll be some fresh new halachic ideas that we have not yet explored. So this should be easy, guys. We're literally on the first line of Hey Amud Aleph. So, even though I don't have the art scroll in front of me, I am very confident with saying it is at the beginning on the first art scroll page. Maybe your second line in the art scroll. Amarav. Okay.
While you're saying we have something about covering ground, I have to tell you that Rabbi Feuer's father, the elder Rabbi Feuer, says you have to cover ground before ground covers you.
Well, let's get to it then, okay? That's see, we don't only come here for the Gemara issue, we come here for the differing muster as well. So we get both in the same package. Amarav Megillah. So here's the question, Rabosai, and I shared this between Mincha and Maariv, and I shared the question, not the answer. And I said, if anyone wants to know, this is the shtick I do, by the way. Whenever I speak between Mincha and Maariv at shul to just filibuster until Shkia comes, so we could start Maariv. I always. Not always, but many times I'll open up with a question that I'm going to address in a shiur. And then I say, and if you want to get the answer, you'll just have to join us at shiur tonight. So far, I'm not sure how many people I'm bringing in with it, but we'll see who pops in and who knows. Maybe I'll be lucky. Okay. The question that we raised was regarding how many people need to be present at Megillah reading. Now, seemingly, Rav, it's going to be a machlokas. Rav says that when you're reading the Megillah in its appointed time on the 14th, you can read it in the privacy of your own home, of your own apartment. There's no need to go out to shul to get a minyan. Korosaf. However, shelo bizmana, but if you're reading it like the kfar in the villages, which you read on the 13th, the 12th, the 11th, so then it has to be done be'asara. There needs to be 10 people present there. Now, I purposely am ambiguous. I'm using the term people because it's not clear whether it needs to be 10 men. It's possible 10 women or possibly even children could be included in this number. We'll explore that shortly. I'll just finish the machlokas, then I'll take the questions. Rav Asi Amar, bein bismana, bein shelo bismana, be'asar. So, I'll just get through the section of Gemara, and then I'll take any haros or questions, unless something's unclear. So Rav Asi Amar, bein bismana, bein shelo bismana, be'asara. You always need 10 present, regardless of whether you did on the original date or whether on an earlier or a later date. In fact, Hava Ovda, this happened. V'choshli Rav lahadu Rav Asi. Rav was machmir. He was stringent. He was concerned for the position of Rav Asi that even on the 14th, one has to ensure that there is a minyan. Umiyama Rav Hachi? Did Rav really say this? We have an internal contradiction within Rav. V'amar Rav Yehuda b'rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas meshmei d'Rav. For Rav said elsewhere, Purim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, if the 14th falls out on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Zmanim, then Friday, the 13th, becomes the proper Zman, the proper time to read. Erev Shabbos Zmanim, for Shabbos Zmanim who? What does that mean, Erev Shabbos is the right time to read? The original time is really on Shabbos, on the 14th. What's Rav wish to convey? El lav hochi kamar shelo bizmanam kizmanam. Maz manam afil b'yachid, av shelo bizmanam afil b'yachid. What Rav was seemingly trying to convey by saying Friday, the 13th that you're reading on should be treated like the 14th on Shabbos. What's that mean, like the 14th? Just like on the 14th, you could suffice without 10 people present. So too, when you're leaning on the 13th, the 12th, or the 11th, you could suffice without 10 people present for Megillah reading, which seems to contradict Rav's approval, Rav's support for Rav Azi's position, which was you need 10 in any event. So how do we make sense of this? So lo le'ini mikmegillah basara elamai erev Shabbos zmanam. Ah, so it's not to come to tell us that just like on the 14th, you don't need 10. So too on the 13th, you don't need 10. So rather, what's it coming to teach us? Elamai erev Shabbos zmanam. What was Rav conveying by saying now Friday is the right time? Friday zman. I know Friday is now the zman to read. La fuki mitarevi. Ah, he said it to the exclusion of the Shita of Rebbe that we learned last week. And in case you don't remember what that is, don't worry, the Gemara is going to rehash it right now. To Amar, Hova Nitchua Yersman Koman, Yidchul Yom HaKnisa. Rebbe's position we learned last week in Dalam Abbas was once we already move the date from the 14th, it doesn't have to be on the 13th per se. You can push it back all the way to the Yom HaKnisa. You can push it back 2 or 3 days to Thursday or to Monday, depending on how it works out. That's Rebbe's position. Hakamash Malon, what did Rav come to tell us? The Erev Shabbos Zmanamu. No, you cannot go all the way back to Thursday. Since you can't lean on Shabbos, you only push it back to the closest date you need to, and that's Friday. That's what he meant by saying Friday is now Zmanam. That's the right time, as opposed to pushing it all the way back to Thursday. Ah, so that makes sense now. Now we can understand the position of Rebbe. But point being is, somebody does not lane Megillah on the proper date on the 14th for whatever reason, we'll talk about in a moment why you might need to lane earlier, then it behooves you to find 10 people in order to lane it with them. Okay, that brings us to the Mishnah. Let me pause. I know Zadie, thank you for waiting. I know you had a ha'ara to share with us, and then any other questions or insights we'll take at this time.
You've used the term minyan. Is that 10 men or 10 of any gender?
Very good, Zadie. Very good. So, you know, minyan is actually might be the wrong word. So I'm going to take out my good friend over here, Rav Zilberstein in the Chashuk Echaned, and I have a question based on this that I want to share with you.
Let me interject 1 second.
Sure.
Because I feel we've already learned that somebody could read for a group of women who couldn't make it to shul.
One more time, what did we learn?
What?
Sorry, Zadie, can you just repeat again?
That somebody could lane for a group of women who couldn't make it to shul or came after the minyan.
Right. So there's a question saying Haravis Rivenu, including women in that. So good, good. So this is all related. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tuf Resh Peches Zif Zion, if you're going out on a cruise or you're going out to travel with the caravan, so then, you know, presumably nowadays you go on a cruise, one of these Jewish cruises, which I found out they don't rent out the whole boat because I guess financially not really sustainable, but they just have Jewish infrastructure within the boat. Yeah, I only know these things theoretically. I've never been zeicha to go on one of these cruises. And I always say, like, I can never criticize any of these cruiser Pesach programs because I have to hold off, like, you know, that maybe 20 years from now, who knows, maybe I'll strike gold and I'll make it onto one of them. So I have to be careful that, you know, who knows, someone could be digging up this recording many years from now and then everything goes south. So what's the Shulchan Aruch say? If you're going out traveling, the Einamotz Megillah Holichimo, and you do not have a Megillah that you could bring along with you, then what do? If you're going to be on the boat on the 14th and you will not have a Megillah with you, this is an example of where you can rely on reading the Megillah on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th. You don't just need to be a village to do that. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Shalob Ezvana Tzar Chasar. Why? Based on what we learned here in the Gemara, that you need 10 people when you're not laning it in its proper time, even according to the more makel shita. So the question now is, can children be included in the count of 10? So the Mishnah Brura, same place in Sif Katan Chaf, he writes, She'efshar the tzagi b'ktan l'hashel ma'asara, hov hu rak mishum persume nisa. So you know the whole time I've been saying we need a minion? Scratch that. This isn't from the same category. It's the wrong category. You don't need a minion to have Megillah, right? What's the point of having a minion? When there's a minion, you could say Dvar Shep Gedusha. You're allowed to say Baruch Hu, Kaddish. That, you know, you have the Chiyuv of Kriya Satorah. So that can be done when there's 10 men because the Shechina, the divine presence, then rests in their midst. However, here it's not about having a minion. You don't need a minion for Megillah per se. But what we need, why do we need 10? Because 10 also is what we call bifarhesia. For instance, we know that one is not supposed to give up, we know that someone doesn't give up their life for mitzvos in the Torah other than the big bad three, right? The three carnal sins. However, if someone comes over to me, puts a gun in my head and says, eat pork chops, and it's in a public, what's public? 10 people there. So then I am supposed to give up my life because that's a public display of sinning. It's much worse. So similarly over here, in the positive way, Kiddush Hashem or Psumei Nisa requires 10 people. 10 people, it's not a minion, so it doesn't necessarily need to be 10 men per se. Perhaps even children could be included, the Mishnah Berurah says. However, there's a contradiction between what the Mishnah Berurah writes, and he seems to be running contrary to what the Rama writes earlier. The Rama, in the context not of laning earlier, but laning on the 14th or 15th as regularly prescribed, he says, the Rama writes, Yesh l'stapik im nashim mitzdarfos la'asara. It's doubtful whether women could be included in the 10 people that you need to have persume nisa, a public display of recounting the miracle of Purim. But the question is, if we're fine with katana, we're fine with children, then women should not be a question. And if women can be included, 10 adult women can be included in the 10 that we need for Mikra Megillah, then, if women we don't know about, then Kama Chomer, we shouldn't be so confident that children could be included in that. So there seems to be a contradiction over here. To which Rav Zilberstein suggests, and he says, Ulai Efshar Letarets. So, he's not trying to sell us on this one. This is an instance where we say the Kasha is better than the Teret. So I'll give the answer and then I'll take your point, Toby. He says, maybe the Shalobismana, what's the goal of having 10 people when we're leaning not on the original date, when we're leaning on the 11th, 12th, or 13th? Deboya Saratamahu, Shalyachashu Shahu Lomar Tanach, the Ir Lo Perik Zeb Osayum. Well, some will think that you're doing Nach Yomi, and they'll think, okay, it just happens to be on the 11th of Adar, you got up to Megillas Esther. It's not so far fetched. If you're laning on the 14th, people know why you're laning, right? That's why, actually, it says in the Gemara that I don't need, according to the first Shita, I'm allowed to lean on my own on the 14th because people know. I know when I'm laying, it's Persume Nisa. But when you're laying it earlier, you need 10 people gathered there to convey that despite the fact it's not Purim proper, this is an act of Persume Nisa we're trying to do. It needs 10 to strengthen that. So for that, we can use children. But whereas the laning we're doing on actual Purim proper, if our goal isn't just to do Persume Nisa, but our goal is that we want Be'inon Yud B'nei Chiyuva. We need 10 people who are obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. So there, we cannot suffice with children. And questionably, women can be counted. Again, based on that whole sugya about the nature of women's Chiyuv in Mikra Megillah, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think I'll be doing that this coming Monday night. So we'll address that. Okay, so that's his answer that he provides. Toby, yes, thank you for waiting.
Yeah, no, it's a question with regard to women and pursuing Nisa. If women can fulfill or achieve pursuing Nisa, for example, on Hanukkah, let's say a woman is the one who's lighting the candles and she puts it in the windowsill. Mm-hmm. She is involved in pursuing Nisa. So why can a woman do it in certain situations and not in others?
Right. So that's actually very good. And that's actually the point he's making, saying if all we're trying to accomplish is pursuing Nisa, women, children, anyone Jewish can be included in that. You're absolutely right, Toby. But he's saying is if you want the next level, which is you don't simply want pursuing Nisa, but you want literally a minion of people who are obligated in the mitzvah on an equal level. So then definitely 10 men would satisfy that. And the Ramah says, doubtfully, maybe women would count as well. Now, what's the maybe women will count as well? Perhaps the Ramah is, Ramah is aware of the machlokis, of the nature of women's obligation in Mikra Megillah. And that might be at the heart of the doubt of whether they can be included in the 10, not just pursuing Nisa. If all we're talking about is pursuing Nisa, women, children, anyone Jewish can be included. But if we want like a minion, want the next tier, we want the gold tier, so then we want people who are b'nei chiyuva. We want people who are actually obligated. Children are for sure not obligated. Boys, girls, doesn't matter. Women, that's the question the sugya will address. I mean, women are definitely chayav to some degree. The question is to what degree? Okay, very good. Any other points before we go forward to the next Mishnah, Rabosai? Okay, deep breath. Here we go. Next Mishnah on Hey Amud Aleph. I would guess the next page in the art scroll. Would I be wrong to assume that?
It's Aleph to the second power.
To the second power. Very good. So we are in the second power. Making progress. Right? What was that, Zadie? You better get cover ground before the ground covers you. Okay, good. So the first part of the Mishnah, a lot of this Mishnah actually we know already because the Gemara has already made reference to this. It's just a good time to remind ourselves. You know, I finally realized why there's not a lot of people here tonight. I think there's an event at the JCC, right? Is that, I think there's like a Holocaust remembrance event, possibly. But I guess both of these are being recorded and the question is which one do you want to be at live? And I appreciate that you guys are here live because I'm guessing at this, at our share, you can actually ask questions and it matters to be here live. And the other one, you're just an audience member, but both are very worthwhile. But thank you for spending time with us tonight. Okay. So a lot of this mission we're going to recognize. And just to remind ourselves, just a structured Gemara for those who want to familiarize themselves. The Mishnah was written in redacted in around 200 in the Common Era. The Talmud Bavli somewhere around 500. So the Gemara, since all the rabbis of the Gemara knew Mishnah backwards and forwards, the Gemara, as we saw earlier, make reference to Mishnayos we haven't gotten into yet. But historically speaking, it's really this Mishnah where the ideas originated, not the Gemara that we saw earlier, because the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. That makes sense? Okay, good. So Ezohi Ir Gadol Kol Sheishba Asara Bat Lanim Pachus Mikan HaRezek Far. So what is considered to be a large city? Any city that has 10 Bat Lanim. Remember we talked about 10 Bat Lanim? 10 people who are, the Gemara will explain in a moment, 10 people, 10 men, but yeah, I guess it'd be other people maybe, it's part of it has to do here with having a minion at shul. If you can sustain, if you have 10 people who are going to be around shul and you will sustain a minion every day, there's different interpretations what it means. Well, let's go with that. Then you have made it into the big time. If you cannot sustain a minion at your shul, then you're just a small time village and, too bad. Okay. Be'elu Amr, next section of Mishnah. This Mishnah has a bunch of subsections in here. So that's section number one. Segment number two of the Mishnah. Ve'elu amru makdimin v'lo ma'achrin. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, our general rule is that we push laning earlier if we need to the 13th, the 12th, the 11th, but we don't push it past the 15th. We never go past Tesvav. However, that's not the same principle for other time-bound mitzvahs per se. But the time that the wood for the rituals in the Beis HaMikdash is donated, we did this in the Mishnah class sometime back. Tisha B'Av, the day of Tisha B'Av, Chagiga, the Chagiga offering, the Hakel, the gathering that takes place after the year of Shvias, where the king reads sections of Sefer Dvarim and everyone gathers around. Ma'achron v'lo makdimin. These, if they cannot be held on their original date, we do not push them earlier like Mikra Megillah, but rather we push them later. And just, you know, not that I don't think any of us have ever gotten to experience a Hakel, but we've all, I'm sure, experienced Tisha B'Av in the past. And we're probably aware, I would hope so, that when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, it becomes a Nidcha and we observe it on Sunday. So that's just like an intuitive example that I think I would hope we're familiar with. Okay, next section of the Mishnah. We'll give the rationales next time. Next section of the Mishnah. Af al pisha amur makdimin v'l ma'akron. This one we covered in the Gemara as well. So remember villages? What's the reason villages get to lane earlier? So that it could so that they could hear Mikra Megillah on Monday or Thursday when they're going to the big city anyway to hear Kriyas HaTorah or to get their cases adjudicated by Beis Din that would convene on Mondays and Thursdays. However, Avli Shamar Magdimin V'l Ma'achrin. Oh, sorry. I jumped the gun. I missed the section here. Avli Shamar Magdimin V'l Ma'achrin. Mutar Behesmer Tanya Shematas of Yom. So we'll get to that part in a second. Even in the instance where we move the day of laning Mikra Megillah earlier, for instance, for villages, we move it from the 14th to the 11th, 12th, or 13th. Nonetheless, on those days, since it's not Purim proper, we're just laning Megillah on those days. Mutar and Behesvin, one's allowed to eulogize. Ubitainis, one's allowed to fast if you really want to go for it. Umatanis Levionim. And we talked about last week also that gifts to the poor are given. Why? Because as we said last time, because those who are coming to collect funds, they associate Mikra Megillah with having funds distributed to them. So we wouldn't want to disappoint anybody. Now, what was I going to say? Hesped. So what's it mean you can't give a hesped? So this is a halacha that not many people are aware of because we kind of ignore it / circumvent it. But there are days during the year that we're not supposed to eulogize. So what happens, you know, it'll happen many times. A funeral will be on a Friday and the funeral will take place at noon. And by the time they're up to eulogies, it's after Chatzos Hayom. It's after midday. So the question is, how are you allowed to eulogize? You're not supposed to eulogize in Erev Shabbos, or you're not supposed to eulogize on different joyous days. So how does someone deliver the eulogy anyway? So usually what the rabbi does is they say, this is a day that we do not give eulogies because it's a joyous day, but nonetheless, it behooves us to share some memories anyway. I remember when I was learning this halacha in Avelis, and I asked different rabbanim, you know, what do we do halacha l'maisa? And that's what I was told by multiple people. I still don't find it completely satisfactory, but it is what it is. All I can say is that I know if I told families not to eulogize their loved ones on these days, they'd probably, you know, find a different rabbi, I would imagine. Okay, so let's next section of Mishnah. All right, Huda, Amosai Makoshev Nasabiyom Sheni V'Chamishi. This is what I was talking about. When do we say that the kfarim, that the villages, go all the way back to Monday and Thursday? But when they don't go to the big cities on Mondays and Thursdays, if these villagers never or don't consistently go on Mondays and Thursdays to their city, so then they don't have that privilege of being able to lane earlier because, frankly, they don't have any purpose to lane earlier. If they're not going on Mondays and Thursdays, why should we push their laning date to Mondays and Thursdays if they're not going to the big city anyway consistently on those dates? Very good. That's the end of the Mishnah. Let's break it down. The first part of the Gemara is really straightforward. Tana, Asar about Lunin. What do we mean by Asar about Lunin? 10 people, like what? 10 people who are just bums on the street? No, I mean it should be based on Knesset. There are 10 bums hanging around the Chas v'Shalom. There are 10 people who are around the shul, keeping the base mendrash alive, keeping the minyanim alive. Good. Now we know what the first part of the Mishnah means. Next, Be'elu Amar Magdimin Velo Ma'achrin. So when it comes to Mikra Megillah, we only push the date earlier. We never push it later. Why? We've learned this before. My Taima, Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, Velo Yavor. And you shall not pass. For any Lord of the Rings fans here. Okay, a little generational. Lord of the Rings has been around, I think, before all of you, but the movies only came out later. So you shall not pass. You shall not go past the 15th. Good. So now we know why Purim doesn't go earlier. But the Gemara does what it does. Once we quoted Rabbi Abba, the name of Shmuel, for one teaching, we'll now teach one miscellaneous teaching that also the Gemara wants us to make aware of that he taught. Don't worry, this will not become a tangent that goes on for the rest of this year. It's only one brief tangent. V'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel. So this is important. We don't have a solar calendar, but we have a lunar solar calendar in Judaism. And this could create a little bit of confusion in different areas of halacha. Minayin she'imonin yamim l'shanim. How do we know that we don't count the days of the year? Shnemar l'chodshei hashana. Chadoshim atamona l'shanim, v'yatamona yamim l'shanim. We count the months of the year. We don't count the days of the year. What does that mean? Like we count everything. So what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi fills in the blank for us, fills in between the lines. In that, it's Rashi, Dibur Maskmi, Nayin Shein Monin, Yamin Lishanim. The In Nadar Be'echa Benisan, Asur Ad Echa Benisan. So the case is as follows. If I take a neder that I'm not going to eat chocolate ice cream for an entire year. And the way I formulate it is I'm not going to eat from the first of Nisan in this year to the first of Nisan next year. So if that's how he formulates it, Echa v'Nisan Abba, Abba b'sha dayin yesh yud alef yom she'imosa chama yatir alimosa levana. So even though there might still be so like 11 days left of the solar calendar year, you did not go through a full year. But since on our Jewish calendar, it's not about the amount of days, it's not about 365 days passing, but it's about going from the first of Nisan to the first of Nisan next year. That's called a complete year for these purposes. That's what he's teaching. That's what he means. Similarly, Rabbana de Kesari, the rabbis who were in Kesaria, Mishum Rabbi Abba Amru, Minayin Shin Mechash and Shos Lechadashim. How do we know that we don't count the hours of months? Shnemar Archodesh Yamim, Yamim Atam Mechash Lechadashim, Yatam Mechash Shos Lechadashim. Days we count towards months, but we don't evaluate, based on the hours. Now, what does that mean? It means as follows. If someone stipulates that if I don't come back before the end of the month, so this is what would happen many times. In Maseches Gittin, we talk about this, that if someone's a merchant and he has to go abroad, but he doesn't want his wife to be, you see, we talk about agunas nowadays. The typical aguna we hear about is a man refuses to give a get to his, to become ex-wife. Or estranged wife is probably the right terminology. But the classic issue of aguna wasn't someone refusing to give a get, but the classic issue was, this is more similar to the issue that happened, Rachmana Litzlan, with the Twin Towers, the husband is just gone, and we don't have confirmation whether he died. So because he's all the way, he's somewhere else, you know, he could be in Europe, and you're in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't have Zoom, they didn't have any real good form of communication back then. So what they would do is, as a protective measure, the husband would give a get to his wife, and he would stipulate, if I'm not back by such and such time, this get, this divorce document should be effective. That way, she's guaranteed that she can move on with her life if, God forbid, he does not return. So the issue is as follows. If he says, if I'm not back by the end of the month. So on the one hand, a month you would think is 30 days. But some of the months that we have are chaser, are 29 days. So even though he came back before 30 days were up, but since he came back after the 29th day elapsed, and it's already the next month on the halachic calendar, so then since he didn't say 30 days, he said a month, we don't look at the hours that are left, but rather we look at the days. And if it's no longer chaf tes of that month, it's the aleph, it's the first day of the next month, sorry, the gets effective. I mean, they can remarry afterwards, but if he's a Kohen, that's not a good situation. Okay. Yeah. Don't try this at home. Very good. Okay. That ends that section of the Gemara. And now we are getting to our second to last section of today. So remember we talked about that whereas Mikra Megillah, we only push it earlier. We never postpone it. All these other areas of halacha we talked about, like Tisha B'Av, Hakel, those we never make it earlier, but we always postpone it to a rain date. So let's explain why that's the case. We push it off, but we don't do it earlier. Why? Tisha B'Av, the rationale why if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, it's nidchet to Sunday. Because we don't like anticipating bad things. We are, you know, bad times. Tisha B'Av is not really an auspicious day on the Jewish calendar. I don't know if you guys know that. One time I was talking to a young woman and she's not really she wasn't so religious, and she said, "Yeah, you know, I don't really celebrate Tisha B'Av." And I said, "Yeah, neither do I." She meant to say I don't observe Tisha B'Av, but I got a kick out of how she formulated that. So Tisha B'Av is not a happy day. I think that part's self-evident. And therefore, we don't try to, you know, we're always hoping Mashiach will swoop in at the last moment. We're not really trying to get Tisha B'Av in as fast as possible. And therefore, rather than put it on a Friday, a Thursday, we put it on Sunday when it falls out on Shabbos. What's the reasoning behind a chagiga v'hakel? The bringing the chagiga, offering a chagiga, as the name implies, is brought on a chag. So when you go up for Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, one of the offerings you bring is a carbon chagiga. And what do you know? There's a mesechta named after that. And hakel, as we explained, once every 7 years, on the first year, at the beginning of the first year, on a new Shemitah cycle, after the first day of Sukkot, they all gather together in Yerushalayim. The king reads from the Torah publicly. So why do those get pushed off rather than made earlier? Mishum de'akati lomatan zman chiyuvayim. Because, you know, it's like a bris. You never do a bris earlier. You don't do a bris on the seventh day. But if you need to, you'll push a bris off to the ninth day if need be. Why? Because the zman chiyuv, there's no obligation to do it yet. If you do it earlier, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah the way God commanded. So you have to wait till your first chayiv. And if you're not able to fulfill the mitzvah when you are now obligated, then okay, we give you a few more days if need, whatever it is, need be, if you need to do it. But if you're not chayiv yet, it doesn't, you know, it's like if I light Shabbos candles on Thursday night, it doesn't help. I didn't accept Shabbos yet. It's not going to work for Shabbos. I only light from Plaga Mincha and onwards. So it's a similar idea here. Good. Tana, we have an ambiguous Brisa, and there's going to be three interpretations of how to understand this ambiguous line in the Brisa. Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga ma'achr. One line, that's it. Excuse me, the chagiga offering, and the, I'm just translating literally, and the entire zman, the entire time of the chagiga, we push off, we postpone if needed. Now, what does that mean? Let's break it down. So I understand if the Yontif, or the first day of Yontif, corresponds with Shabbos, coincides with Shabbos, then I wait till the second day of Yontif to bring my Chagiga offering. Elazma Chagiga Magi. Okay, Shkoyach. So then what does it mean, Chagiga, the Chagiga offering, and Zman Chagiga, the timing of the Chagiga? That sounds like the same thing to me. So we have three different approaches, not mutually exclusive, but three different approaches to explain what this means. Amar Rav Oshia, Hachi Kamar, Chagiga B'Shabbos. Okay, so a little background. In addition to the Chagiga offering that's brought in Yom Tov, there's another offering one brings called an Olas Re'ia, which means it's an Ola offering, when it goes completely up to God, upon coming, beholding the temple when one comes to visit. So Chagiga B'Shabbos, Chagiga that falls out on Shabbos, we push it off to the next day. For Olas Re'ia, and Olas Re'ia, Afil B'Yontif, even on the first day of Yontif, even if it's not on Shabbos, we push it off as well. Dizman Chagiga Hu Ma'achrin, just like the Chagiga we push off from Shabbos to Yontif, the Olas Re'ia, even on the first thing Yontif that doesn't coincide with Shabbos, we push it off to after the first day of Yontif, during Chol Moed, when it could be done. Okay, that's interpretation number one. And money, who is this in accordance with? Beishamai hi, Ditznan, Beishamai Omrim. Mevi and Shlomim Yontif ain't somchan aleihem. Beishamai said that one could bring a Shlomim on Yom Tov, a Shlomim offering, but you don't do smicha on it. Avolo olos, but one does not bring ola offerings on Yontif. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Mevi and Shlomim olos, who somchan aleihem. Hillel, in general, is more lenient. He's fine with even bringing Ola offerings on Yontif. And it has to do with the difference that since a shlamim, you're benefiting from the food on Yontif, it's permissible to slaughter it because there's an element of Ochel Nefesh. We just talked about this in our Mishnah class. Remember Mishnah people? We talked about heating up water on Yom Tov because it's Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to do these things to eat from it. So that's the rationale why a shlamim, unlike an ola, could be brought on Yontif on the first day. Why? Because you're going to eat from that offering. So it's a necessity of the day. It's ochel nefesh. That's the rationale behind it. Good. So that's number one. That's the first interpretation of that line. Okay. Interpretation number two. Rava Amar. Chagiga, kol zman chagiga ma'achrin. Tvei lo. The way you read it is the Chagiga could be pushed off. It could be pushed off to the second day of Yom Tov, to the third day, and the fourth day, etc., etc., etc. However, once Yom Tov is over, sorry, Charlie, you have lost out on this mitzvah. That's what means the Zman Chagiga. It's none. And this is supported by a Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Chagiga, of course. I thought so. I just wanted to confirm that. So yes, in Chagiga, and apparently, I'm getting references to Beitz Achav Av. Okay, you can check out the Masoros HaShas. There's other places it appears as well, but of course in Chagiga, the Tanan, Misha lo chag b'yom tofer rishon shel chag, someone who neglected to celebrate, to bring the offerings on the first day of Yom Tov, chogeg v'holich es kol haregel kulo v'yom tov ha'achron shel chag. So you have all the way to the end of Yom Tov, even including Shmini Atzeres of Sukkot, even including Shmini Atzeres, you still have a chance. However, Avar HaRegel V'lo Chag, but if Yom Tov ends and you still haven't brought that offering, Eino Chai Bachariyu. So, okay, there's nothing else you can do at that point. You've missed out on a very important opportunity, unfortunately. We gave you a whole Yom Tov to do it. Let's say you get it. What about Shavuos? You know, here, Galus, okay, Shavuos is 2 days, but in the way it was intended in the Torah, the way it's done in Eretz Yisrael, it's only 1 day. So what do we do there? So that brings to our third interpretation. Rav Ashi Amar, Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga ma'achren. What does that mean? V'afilu atzeres dechad yoma ma'achren. Even on Shavuos, when the Chagiga falls out on Shavuos, we will push it off. That coincides with Shabbos, we will push it off to the next day after, even after Shavuos. Even after the Yom Tov is over, Shavuos is only 1 day, still we can push the Chagiga even after Shavuos. Rashi says, just like any holiday, we give you up to 7 days to do it. It's not, and it's supported by a Mishnah once more. Everyone is in agreement that if Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, you will slaughter Chagiga after Shabbos. Very good. Three interpretations. This brings us now, deep breath. This brings us now to the final section of the Gemara we're going to see tonight. And this is like a really long, you know, you think of, sometimes, you know, you think of like these non-Orthodox clergy that try to get rid of holidays on the calendar. But you would never think that a rabbi in the Talmud would try to do that. Check this out. You know, I should have like told you this first and not told you it's in the Gemara. And you could tell me, did an Orthodox rabbi say this? Rebbe planted a tree on Purim. V'rachatz b'korona shel tzipori v'shivas ar b'tamas. Yes, insert all of your corona jokes here. Okay, corona means a marketplace. He would bathe in the marketplace of tzipori on the 17th of Tammuz. On Shavuos Batamas, and now this is the line I wanted to get you excited about. Ubikesh lakor Tisha B'av, and he said, and he wanted to do away with Tisha B'av. He's like, I don't need all these fast days like during the summer. It's a long day. It's hot. How many Holocaust movies can I watch in the Simcha Room already in a row? It's tough, right? And the Wi-Fi situation, you know, it's a tough day. Toby appreciated that one. Now, Flohodulo. Unfortunately for us, the rest of the rabbis were not sympathetic to him. But I appreciate where Rebbe was coming from. Amar Lefana of Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda, Rebbe, lo kachay emaitzino. Even Reyunasi, he wasn't so radical that he tried to revoke Tisha B'Av entirely. Ela Tisha B'Av shechal yos b'Shabbos haba. What was the case that he wanted to do away with Tisha B'Av? If Shabbos were to fall out, if Tisha B'Av were to coincide with Shabbos, u'dechinu after Shabbos, and the rabbis would say, okay, so you observe Tisha B'Av on Sunday. Fama Rebbe. Remember, this is the same Rebbe from Dalam Abates, I believe. Hol v'nitche yitche. Once you're pushing it off, but here he doesn't mean you just push it off stam to a different date. Kevin shenitche nitche. Once we're not observing Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av, once it's the 10th of Av, we just don't have to do it. Wouldn't that be great? But v'lo hodilo chachamim, that's when the rabbis took issue. But even Rebbe wasn't radical enough to say, let's do away with Tisha B'Av entirely. Karilei tovim ha'shnayim in ha'echa, to which he responded to that report and said, good is two people who learn together than one person on his own, because I would have walked away thinking that Rebbe was so radical that he wanted to do away with Tisha B'Av entirely. And thankfully, now I have more respect. I obviously had the respect for him, but now I can appreciate his rationale more now that you've clarified the context of this report. And very good. That brings us to the end of our Gemara learning for today. But you remember how we talked about how Rebbe planted a tree on Purim? You know, someone's not supposed to do, you're not supposed to do malacha. You're not supposed to do different forms of work on Purim. So don't worry. The Gemara is not going to let him off the hook for the other stuff so fast. And God willing, we'll pick that up next time. So wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos. This concludes the shiur. But of course, I'll remain on for a few minutes if there are any concluding questions or insights that you'd like to share. Anyone have any hands? Okay. Pleasure learning together. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone. And stay safe. Stay safe.
Yeah.